Hello, welcome to the Lean on Plants podcast. My name is Chelsea, and if you are struggling to lose weight on a plant-based diet, then this podcast is for you. While there are thousands of books, podcasts, and resources about the benefits of a plant-based diet, the reality is that being vegan does not guarantee losing weight. If you are feeling frustrated and confused about where to start, or you know exactly what you should be doing, but you just can't seem to rustle up enough willpower to do it, then keep listening. In this podcast, you'll learn the truth about plant-based weight loss, but just as importantly, how to use proven methods of behavioral change to turn what you know into lifelong habits that lead to getting and staying lean. Can't wait to get started. Let's do this. Lily, thank you so much for hopping on the podcast today. I'm super excited to hear more about your story. You've lost about 25 pounds over the last year. You've become a super consistent runner, made some amazing changes in your habits. I'm just excited to kind of hear a little bit more about that. Before we get started, can you tell us a little bit about who you are and your dieting history?
So my name is Lily. I live in Ireland. I was born in France. I'm originally from the French Caribbean, in Guadeloupe, but I moved to Ireland like 10, 11 years ago. And I had to think about my dieting history. It started a very long time ago. maybe when I was a teen, or maybe even a preteen. I was never like a skinny kid. I was not extremely overweight, but always just a little bit, a chubby kid, let's say. And so when I was like a teen, I remember there was a year, maybe I was 12. We used to go to Guadeloupe on the summer every 3 years. And I think it was the year when I was 12, I went and I was, I don't know, some of my cousins are super extrovert, you know, they like noisy, like to play and all. And I was an introvert, so I had a hard time fitting in. I was just sitting somewhere with a book and eating a lot, eating my feelings, feeling a little bit lonely, eating a lot. And when I came back, I remember my best friend told me, "Wow, you gained a lot of weight. Wow, that's..."
Oh, no.
I was like, "Oh my God, she's right. I gained so much weight." And I think that's my first memory of thinking, "Oh, I need to go on a diet." And I don't remember exactly what I did, but I think it's like, you know, the basic stuff, like skip the cookies, try to smaller portions, this kind of stuff. And I think from that day, I started this cycle of gaining, losing, gaining, losing, because I didn't really know what I was doing when I was trying to lose weight. So I wasn't really doing it right.
What was when you look back at it, what do you think was the reason that you kept gaining and losing and couldn't sustain that?
I think because I was always doing something that was not sustainable. When we first talked about doing this interview, at first I didn't want to do it because I was thinking, I'm not really, have I changed so much? Because I still sometimes crave some stuff, you know, sometimes I still want to have some cookies or pizza or something. I would go to my husband and I was saying, "I don't know if I changed that much." And he was telling me, yes, you did. You really like you used to. And then he reminded me that when we first met, I'm talking like 16, 17 years ago, I was having slim fast for meals and I was not able to he's always telling this story that I was telling him, oh, I'm trying to lose weight. So I was having these horrible slim fast meals. And one day I told him, oh, we should go for a run. And he was like, yeah, okay, if you want. And then I ran like maybe 200 meters and then I was dying. I was like,
oh no.
And he thought that was so funny because I was like, yeah, I want to lose weight, I want to run, and I couldn't make it past 200 meters. So yeah, he's right, I have changed. I've done so many things before, like the slim faster. At some point, I remember once I went to a nutritionist and she gave me a plan with a certain amount of food. I have to weigh everything, like this is this amount of X amount of grams of this and that and that. And everywhere I went, I was like weighing everything. And I was so hungry and I was drinking water. I was super hungry. So of course, when I lost everything I wanted to lose, I was so hungry. I just ate and ate and ate and gained all the weight back. Or at some point also, I was super obsessed with the raw veganism. Videos on YouTube, I won't name names, but some girl who likes to eat bananas.
Oh yeah.
I think anyone who's been interested in that at some point know who I'm talking about. So I was watching the video and thinking, oh yeah, I should be all vegan, that's so natural and everything, I should do that.
Yep.
No, it didn't work out. Of course I lost some weight at first, yeah. But then, no, the cravings for cooked food was, I don't know. It was always the same cycle, doing something super drastic and then being like, I can't do it anymore. Let me just go overboard the other way. Let me just go crazy because I can't take it. So, yeah, that's the main issue. Always this cycle of doing something and not being able to sustain it and then going the other way.
Yeah, I mean, I did the same kind of cycle myself. I'm really curious to hear, what did you think was the main issue? Did you see the diets as a problem, or did you see yourself just not having enough willpower?
I thought there was something wrong with me. I thought, what is wrong with me? Look at these people on YouTube. They're like eating bananas and mangoes and they're fine.
They love it. They say this is amazing. And I'm like, just give me pizza.
And they look like it's so easy, you know, they're like, no problem, that's fine. And that's crazy the way, you know, the way the algorithm works. You watch a couple of these videos and now every time you go on YouTube, they're like, oh, look at this raw vegan, amazing. They have no problem eating all these mangoes and they look amazing. They can run ultra marathon, no problem. You're like, yeah, I can't do that. There must be something wrong with me. I really thought there was an issue with me, my personality, that I don't know where is the willpower. It's not in me. I don't know where it is. So yeah, I thought the issue was me.
And how did that feel to do that for so many years and think that there was something wrong with you?
It felt like almost I don't know, a curse almost, like, what is wrong? Why? I think I was doing quite a bit of self-pity, like, oh, poor me, everything is easy for everyone except me, I don't know why. And yeah, that was not a great time. That was not amazing.
So what led you ultimately to now? Like, what led you to deciding to try something different and try Lean with Plants?
Well, I was thinking at some point I need to do the opposite of what I've been doing because I've done it many times. It never worked. So at some point I need to stop because, yeah, it's not working at all. So I came across your videos on YouTube. So the algorithm is not that bad. And I was thinking, this looks realistic. Looks like something I could do, doesn't look too painful, and I don't know, I could just see myself doing it. It didn't look too crazy, and mostly it's the hunger. I was thinking, if I eat that, I'm not going to be starving all day and thinking about pizza because I'm so hungry.
So you ended up joining our program. You've lost 25 pounds, which is amazing. Tell me a little bit about your thought process around food now and how you did that compared to where you were.
Well, now I'm at the point where it's almost in autopilot. I'm not really thinking. I used to be really obsessed, like, when am I going to get to eat next? Oh, because, of course, I had an intermittent fasting period when I was really, like, counting the hours, like, okay, now my eating window is opening in 5 hours. I'm hungry now, but I have to wait 5 hours. Let me drink a fifth glass of water. Okay. So I used to really obsessed on when am I going to get to eat? What am I going to eat? And now I don't really have this because I'm going to get to eat when I'm hungry. So that's pretty easy. What am I going to eat? Well, my starch is ready because it's prepped in advance and there are plenty of veggies. If I don't really want to cook, I'm just going to cut a couple of tomatoes or something. I don't know, it's just easy. Easy, yeah.
And what kind of things do you eat now in terms of the foods that got you losing weight and the habits? What kind of thing does your lifestyle look like?
It's almost always the same thing. I have like 2 or 3 meals for different meals. I mean, I have like two or three options for breakfast, 2 or 3 options for lunch and for dinner. And the only difference is that I try to, every week when I get my groceries, I try to not get the same vegetables all the time or not get the same fruits all the time. But I mean, in the morning, it's oats and fruits. If I don't feel like oats, it's going to be a smoothie bowl. Then for lunch and dinner, it's going to be potatoes or rice. And then it's going to be tons of veggies, a dollop of hummus on top, and that's it.
So how did you get to this point where it's become autopilot? How did you build these habits over the last year?
I really struggled with meal prep because I always felt like, oh, YouTube again. You see these YouTube videos where they're doing this crazy meal prep. Everything is super nice. They have the nice containers. Yep. Everything looks perfect. At first, I used to think that that's what meal prep is. It's a perfect thing, you know, it looks like this. So I was trying to do it, and I was like doing it once, and then the second day where it was planned, I was like, no, I'm not going through all this again. I'm not doing it. It's not happening. So I think the biggest thing that I've learned is that I don't have to do perfect things. So now my meal prep is absolutely not perfect. I like to prep some baked oats and some potatoes or some rice. I used to think that I had to do everything on the same day. Now, I might do only baked oats today and that's it, and prep nothing else. And then I might do potatoes tomorrow, and that's it. I don't prep veggies in advance because I know that many people have an issue with frozen veggies, but me, I just love it. I think it's super easy. I'm working from home, so sometimes I just take a 5-minute break, cut the thing open, put the veggies in the steamer, don't think about it, go back to work. When I'm hungry, the veggies are here, it's ready. I didn't spend time cutting veggies and anything. Just out of the freezer, in the steamer, it's done. So, yeah.
A very simple system, which sounds very, very different from everything you've done in the past.
Yes, yeah.
So as you were building the system and working through this, did you have any challenges along the way? Because obviously pizza still tastes good and it tastes a lot better than vegetables and broccoli. How did you navigate dealing with those emotions or still having cravings and now getting to the point where it's on autopilot?
Well, I think it's still this thing about perfection that I was trying to do, because my husband and my daughter, they do not 100% eat like me. So they're still doing, they're doing pizza night quite often, actually. And I used to eat with them and eat as much pizza as I want, maybe some crisp with it, maybe some soda or something. And now when they do pizza night, I have two options. Option number one, I do smoothie bowl night, because this way I have a treat, but it's better than pizza. And option number two, sometimes I just give in. I'm having pizza too, but the difference is that half of my plate is going to be steamed broccoli. It's still pizza night, but the thing that I realized, it's very weird, it's that now I'm getting to the point when if I have my plate and there's no veggies in it, it's weird.
Yeah.
Oh, it's weird. Something is missing. It's very weird. So I'm trying, instead of doing what I was doing before, which was always trying to be perfect, I'm trying to compare to what I would have done before.
Mm.
And so when I see my plate with two slices of pizza and a bunch of broccoli, I'm like, I'm not doing too bad. I'm doing okay. Fine.
Yeah. Like, it's a really interesting concept. And we talk about this a lot in the program of wherever your starting point is, all you're trying to do is improve from that point. Because on a purely calorie level, if you normally would eat an entire pizza on a weekly basis, and now suddenly you eat two pieces and some broccoli, and that's your new normal, you're not failing. You're now lowering your calorie base, which is predictably going to lead to weight loss, which is a crazy kind of concept. But it's really hard to get out of that perfectionism mindset. It's really hard to move from, I need to get everything right, and then if I have one slip, I'm going to start binging again. Did you find that hard in the beginning? Did you have to have any kind of mindset shifts around being okay with progress instead of perfection?
Yes, I found it really difficult at the beginning. The first month, I was like, ah. Every time I had a slip up, something happened, I was thinking, oh, okay, I failed. Bring over the ice cream, because now it's over. I'm a failure. It's okay, let's give up. And when I started to feel that I was progressing, was that when something happened, I was like, okay, fine. Why did I do that? I felt like I was being like an investigator of myself. I tried to figure out, okay, this happened for this, this, and that reason. And that's fine. That's a lesson for next time. And next meal, I can just start again. I don't have to beat myself up and thinking, oh, this is terrible. This is a terrible failure. Because, yeah, that's the biggest lesson, that I learned to stop trying to be perfect.
And how did you, as you were learning that, how did you start to convince yourself or realize that that was actually going to be effective? Did you have any moments where you realized, okay, like this is the way I need to start acting, even though it's uncomfortable?
Well, I think what convinced me was to read everyone's posts on the Facebook group, and also to listen to everyone's experience in the pod meetings. It's really, really helpful, because I used to think that everyone else is perfect except me. And then I hear about other people and they are not perfect, but they are seeing results. So then I ended up thinking, okay, so maybe I do not have to be perfect to see results. So maybe I should relax a little bit and be patient, keep going and see what's happening.
I love that, because there's nothing more mindset shifting or belief shattering than seeing someone else doing something and realizing, hey, I can do what they're doing. And if I continue to do what they're doing, I can get their kind of results. And it sounds like that's like a big change that's happened for you, is going from the influence of YouTube or any kind of fad diet, seeing the results of people, but not really knowing what was leading to that, to then going, hey, I can have amazing results by improvement because that's what's working for all these people. And then you start to see that actually work for yourself. When you did start to see the weight coming off, even though you weren't perfect, how did that feel?
First, I was shocked. I was like, oh, wow. Okay, so this isn't really working. And then it felt just really good. And I was relieved. I thought, oh, finally. Finally, I'm finally understanding what is working and how to see results. And there is the fact also that I had to understand that the way I was thinking before, I had to get rid of that. You see this thing of lose 10 kilos in 2 months, this kind of stuff. So I was just getting, understanding and accepting that it's a slow process, but it's happening. Mm. It's really happening.
And where do you feel you're at now? Like you've seen so many changes in yourself. You've built some autopilot habits. How does it feel looking forward into the future? Is this going to last this time?
I definitely feel like it's going to last. And I think I can even lose a little bit more, because right now there are things that I do, and I know that because I do this thing, I am maintaining and not losing. So like you know, the amount of avocado that I might add to something, just little things like this that I could tweak. But right now, like, I don't know if I really want to do that. But at the same time, I know that maybe later, if I decide that I really want a little bit more, then I know what I could tweak a little bit to see more results.
How does it feel to not have to be searching for another diet or thinking about weight loss all the time?
Oh, it feels so good. It feels really, really good. And also, I feel like I'm not like I used to be, kind of obsessed with it. And I can use my energy to focus on something else.
What kind of things have you noticed in terms of changes in your life with being able to shift your focus from just losing weight?
Well, I'm using everything I've learned about building habits. I'm using this for other things that are important to me, because I have other things that I do. I just love art, all kind of arts. I'm a musician, I'm drawing, I'm writing, I'm doing a lot of things. And because I also work full time and have a family and friends, a social life and everything, I always struggled to be consistent in my art practices. And this thing about building habits, I've used it for practicing my guitar, for finding time to write, to grow, these kind of things. So all these habit buildings, it's really useful for everything, actually.
And what kind of things, like when you think about habit building, because a lot of people just have no idea about how to build habits. And that's something that we talk about all the time, making things small, making them easy, making it obvious, making it really satisfying so that you want to do it, trying to eliminate decision fatigue, create commitment devices for you. All of these things are awesome. But for someone who's listening right now and they have no idea where to start to build habits, especially around weight loss, what are the things that you keep in mind when you're thinking about building your habits and your systems?
The most important to me is that it doesn't have to be huge when you start. It doesn't have to be a super huge commitment. If I take an example, not from weight loss, for example, I've always thought I need to spend more time working on my guitar, like doing scales, this kind of stuff. And I used to think, I should work 1 hour or 2 hours straight. That's what I should do. And then I would do that on a Saturday, destroy my fingers, like being super slow, and then spend 1 or 2 weeks even looking at the guitar. And then when I started building the habit again to work really consistently, I was like, you know what? I'm going to work 2 minutes every day, just 2 minutes. I'm doing my full day of work. I finish my shift, take my guitar. I work 2 minutes. Okay, now maybe I work 3 minutes. Okay, now maybe I work five. Maybe one day I will skip it for whatever reason, but then the day after I go back to it. And this is something that you want to do everything.
And I bet you're playing guitar so much more than you were if you look at actual volume of time.
Yeah, because it's every day now.
Are you getting better?
I think so. Am I Jimi Hendrix? No. But yeah, I'm progressing now.
So making things small enough, that's a huge one. You know, it's kind of funny that you mentioned that, because I was thinking about that this morning, and I have to admit that I kind of failed at this morning, and it caused me to think about it, because I have a hike coming up that I need to train for, and I don't really do a lot of cardio. And so I thought, you know what, I'm going to go for a couple of runs this week to just kind of get my cardio up. I've been for one run. I got up this morning and I was like, I should go for a run. I didn't really have time to do the half hour that I thought that I needed to do. And the day just kind of kept progressing. Like, I sat on the bed and talked to Nick for a while, and like, I kind of mucked around a bit. And it got to the point where I should have just gone and done 10 minutes, but I didn't think that that was enough. And so I didn't do anything. And I think what happens all the time is, there's two things. The first one is we put things off because we think there's going to be another time that we can do it with the right, quotes, amount of effort. And that's often where we get really stuck. We're like, you know what? I don't have time to go for a run right now. So instead of doing anything, I'm going to go and I'm going to do like an hour run tomorrow, or I'm going to do half an hour run later on tonight. It's like, that doesn't normally happen. So that's the first thing. But then the other thing is that we see the actual thing as what's important. We see the habit, or we see the action of going for the run as what's important, rather than the action of building trust in ourselves as what's important. Because if we're going to do anything amazing, we have to believe that when we say we're going to do something, we do it when we said we're going to do it. And I think that's where this really comes into play, is that we think, you know what, I don't have time, it's not going to be good enough. And so we don't do it. And then we teach ourselves time and time again, hey, you don't do what you say you're going to do. So we're never going to do anything great. We're never going to do anything too hard, because we don't have trust that we'll ever do that. So even if it is 2 minutes, even if it is 10 minutes, getting out the door and doing something difficult when you said that you were going to do it, even if it's not perfect, that's what builds that trust. And so I didn't do that this morning. I know all these tools and I didn't do it. But really, that's like the big difference in terms of building habits that I've seen, is we have to see this as building routine, building trust with ourselves, building evidence that we keep commitments to ourselves no matter how tiny, and then building off that, rather than saying, like, you know what, if it's a half an hour run, or if it's a 10 minute run, or it's a 1 minute run, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter, because you've got a longer timeline to actually build those things.
Yeah, totally agree with that.
Do you have any other, when you're thinking about building habits, do you have anything else that comes to mind for you on how you build systems and habits?
That's the main one. And that's so weird. You see this thing in the app where you tick that you've done this and that. So when I was done with the program, I was like, oh, okay, I don't have the app. And you know what? I went ahead and got myself an app. I got an app tracker and added everything I wanted. And I don't know what it is about it, but it's so satisfying. You just go and, oh, that's done. Okay, I've done it. It's okay. What you were saying about running. So I have these goals with my running, and sometimes I really don't want to go. And so I look at my running app, and it says, okay, so today you're supposed to do this super hard interval running session, and this is what you should, what you're going to do. And I'm like, no, I want to stay in bed. I do not do it. No. And now the thing that I do is that instead of not doing it or thinking, oh, I'll do it later, I know I won't do it later. It's not.
Mm.
I just change it because there's an option that says, do you want an easier session? And I used to think, oh, this is so weak. If I do it, I have to do the hard one. And now I just accepted that, yeah, some days I'm going to do the easier one. That's just. It's just going to happen.
So allowing yourself not to be perfect and doing what it takes to actually get out the door. Yeah, that's so huge as well. And it's really hard to do that when you're someone who is just used to trying to be perfect all the time.
Yeah, that's something I was struggling with in the program at first, and maybe even close to the end was the wins.
Mm-hmm.
I had such a hard time saying, okay, what is my win? I was getting these messages from Janelle, and she was like, yeah, share a win with me. Oh, I don't know. What is a win? I do not know. And I had to learn to think that, okay, I had this long run planned and I didn't want to do it. And instead, I decided I'm going to go for a long walk.
Mm.
Well, it's a win. I could have stayed on my couch, but I decided to go out and go for a walk. So that was kind of difficult for me because I always felt like you can't really brag if you've not fully reached your goal, you know? You can't really be proud of yourself for this kind of thing. And it was something I had to work on to accept that you can be proud of yourself. You can be, say, this thing is a win, even if you're not the most perfect person. I mean, when I'm running a half marathon, I'm not going to win. I'm not going to be the first.
Mm, yeah.
The Kenyans are just flying. I'm far behind. But when I get there, I get to finish our medal and I brag. I wear my medal all day, okay? Yeah. Until I go to bed at night.
Yeah.
And yeah, I had to learn this thing. And life is just more fun. Come on, it's more fun to take these wins and say, yeah, this is a win. I'm proud of myself. And that's great.
And do you find that when you're acknowledging wins, it motivates you more to keep going?
Yeah. Yeah, because the more I acknowledge my wins and the more I think every day, I can have a win every day. I can have several wins every day again. And just feel good.
And how did you start to build that habit? For someone who doesn't share or acknowledge their own wins and possibly even talks down to themselves, like, oh, you're not good enough, you're a failure. If someone has that kind of negative self-talk, what would you say to them to start breaking out of that and celebrating their wins?
For this, I relied a lot on my coaches, I had different ones, actually, Cassie, Tisha, and then Janelle. They really helped me a lot with that because they were always reminding me to share wins. And also, I was not super consistent with posting in the Facebook group, but I was reading every day.
Mm.
And every time I was seeing someone share a win, I was thinking, yeah, well done, that's good. And then I was thinking, you know what, me too. I've done something too. So yeah, I have a win too.
Yeah.
And so slowly it began easier for me to acknowledge that I had a win, that I had done something I could be proud of.
It's really interesting. Like it's still hard for me to wrap my head around that. The people who acknowledge their wins the most and the people that are most positive about what they are progressing in and achieving actually get better results. And it's the people that are really hard on themselves and don't acknowledge their progress that tend to have the worst results, which is really, it's really counterintuitive to how we want to talk to ourselves. Like it's so fascinating to me because I tend to believe that, well, if I'm hard on myself, I'll be motivated to do more. But it's like, it's not the case. The evidence doesn't support that. And sometimes you feel like you're being stupid to just say, you know what, that was a win, even though you really don't feel like it was.
I think maybe it's a little bit like a mantra, you know. If you're always acknowledging wins, you end up saying, it's like, as if you were saying to yourself, okay, I'm winning, I'm great, it's happening, I'm succeeding. And at some point, you're convincing yourself that you're succeeding. And if you're convinced that that you're winning, but well, you're actually doing things that a winner does. In your mind, you feel like you're doing you're successful.
I like that because to me, that speaks of changing the rules of the game and actually changing the definition of success and saying, well, it's not about what I do. It's not about if I go and run the tempo run that I really want to do. That's not what makes me a winner. What makes me a winner is I go and do it even though I don't want to. And that just getting out the door required 100% of my effort, and I did that. And that's what winners do. It doesn't matter what the result is. Like, winners practice guitar for 2 minutes a day. I win by doing by being consistent. Ultimately, I think that's the only way that it can feel authentic, is if we change the rules of the game. And something that really helped me in this was actually learning that uber successful people do this all the time. They always find more ways to win. I heard this thing on a podcast, and it was talking about a very high profile trainer, I think like Olympic trainer. And so he does something with his clients and his athletes where every single time that they hit the gym, they find some way for them to have a personal best. They're always, every single time, either they lifted heavier on one thing, or like they put in more effort, they did more reps, they did more sets, something. He always finds a way for them to have like a personal best. And I thought that was really fascinating. It's like, well, if someone in that position knows how important it is to give high-level athletes a win every single time, how much more important is it for us to do that as we're trying to build that consistency?
Yeah, I see. Now I'm thinking, how can I get to a personal best every time I go to the gym now?
Yeah, same. I was thinking about that as well. I heard this other quote that I really liked recently, and it said, give 100% every day, and on the days that you can't give 100%, give 40%, and that's your 100%. And I was like, oh, like that's so true.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with spoon theory at all? Have you heard of that?
No, I don't think so.
Spoon theory is this really interesting one. It's this idea, if you picture having like being given a whole bunch of spoons, and some days you have 10 spoons, but then some days you only have 3 spoons. So you have to, you don't have more than that. You have to be really aware of like where you put your energy. And they use it quite often for people who have like disabilities or like struggling in some way with mental capacity. And you just don't always have the same level of effort to give every single day. And so when you see the only way to succeed is giving what you think is 100%, then you end up just giving nothing. But if you see, hey, you know what, today I just don't have as much to give, but I'm going to give everything I have. I'm going to get out the door. That's when you actually start to see real progress. And when you celebrate that is when you start to be motivated to make more. So I love that you've started to learn those things. Is there any other mantras that you have that you think would be helpful to share? Because this is really fascinating.
I think I heard it on one of your podcasts. One that I really like is, this is where most people give up.
Oof.
Yeah, I like this one.
How do you use that? How do you use that in your life?
It's like when there's something I don't want to do and I feel like giving up and just staying there, I'm thinking, this is where most people give up. Yeah, not most people. So I'm just going.
Just keep going.
Another one that I like is, I can do half things. I like this one.
Those are excellent mantras. I love that. Let's talk a little bit about like what you think has been most impactful it can be practical, it can be mindset wise. For someone who's listening to this podcast, they've struggled with perfectionism, they've done tons of diets, they're looking to make sustainable change. What would be your top three pieces of advice for that person?
The first one is to start small. Start really small, and it's not nothing, it's the start. Mm. So yeah, a two-minute habit, it's already great. Because you don't have, I mean, if you do 2 minutes this week, you don't have to do 20 minutes next week. Maybe next week you do 3 minutes. Maybe you even do two minutes and a half. But it's progress. It's already better. So that would definitely be the first one. And then I just like the list and the thing that you can tick off the list. And one that I was discussing with Janelle is to try to think about at least one win every day. If you could just, don't even have to write it or do anything special, but just think about one win every day, because there is one. There is one somewhere.
I love that. So starting small, being okay with it small, having a way of making your habit satisfying, something that you can mark off, check, have some kind of habit tracker, and then having a win every single day. I love that. And in terms of making changes, what do you think has had the most impact on your weight loss that someone could go away from this podcast and start implementing straight away? Something really practical where they can go and instantly start doing it.
Well, there's something that I've started to do only, when was it, months ago, maybe a couple of months ago, is that I've noticed that sometimes I was having a meal, I'm done eating, I'm satisfied, but I could eat a little something more, you know, I could grab some peanuts, so I could grab a couple of crackers, something like this. I do absolutely not need it, but I could eat it. So I've noticed this and I thought, what could I do? I could, I've noticed that sometimes I'm working on something, maybe I'm writing, I'm drawing, I'm working on my guitar. And if I finish my meal and I know that I have planned to go do that, I'm never going to grab anything to eat because I have this thing that I'm going to do. So what I did is that I bought myself two notebooks, because I eat either in the kitchen or in the living room. So I had one in the kitchen, one in the living room. And for a while, I decided that every time I finish a meal, I immediately grab my notebooks and I draw a little something. I decided to distract my mind and make sure I don't go for extra food that I don't need. And I just love drawing. That's something that I love doing. So for all the time that I did that, it was not 100% perfect. I think it was like a couple of times when I had something anyway, but so it was still a huge progress, because when I started doing this, I was this habit of having something more was like almost every day. And so I saw some huge progress with doing this. And I feel like it's really useful to replace, you know, or distract the mind or something, but replace snacking with something that I really like. Not use the big words, but I love. So I really, really love this. And now I don't do it automatically, but I have an extra guitar next to my work desk. And sometimes I also do that instead of drawing. Or sometimes, I don't know, you see these lazy days in the weekend, you're on the couch watching Netflix for a little bit too long. And then you're like, oh, I could eat something while I'm watching Netflix. And now sometimes I'm thinking, you know what, I've been here for 2 hours. Let me just go out and have a walk. And sometimes I don't really want to, but then I look at my podcast app and I'm like, oh, new episode of my favorite podcast. Let me go for a walk and listen to that. And It's a good time. I'm having a good time, and I'm not snacking when I'm not hungry. So
I think that's really fascinating. It kind of reminds me, I think I shared this on a podcast recently. I saw this interview with Chris Pratt, who's one of the actors in Parks and Recreation, which is a show that I really, really like. And he was saying that when he was on that show, he was a little bit overweight, and most of what he would eat was burgers and fries, and he would kind of live for his meals. And then now that he's gotten really, really healthy, he's really fit now, very lean, very muscular. His meals are kind of boring. He doesn't mind them, but he lives for the moments between his meals. He's more living his life, and his food is fuel. And it kind of reminds me of what you're saying. And I think that this is really important, is in terms of a mindset shift, realizing that you're eating to live, you're not living to eat. You're not having to build every single memory, every single positive experience, every single comforting emotion around food. There are other things. And I've realized for myself, the more that I focus on those other things, find fulfillment in my work, in my skating, in my kids, outside of food, the more food can stay in its place. And it is fuel. It's okay for it to be not that delicious and amazing. And every time I feel upset or bored, go and have an amazing snack. Like, I can do other things. So I think that's really powerful. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, it's been a big, big change. And I don't know, it's just really fun to have a nice walk and listen to a funny podcast or something. It's just a good time.
Creating different habits around food and around your life. Wrapping this up, I know you said at the beginning that you were thinking, hey, you know what, have I actually changed all that much? And your partner was like, yeah, you have actually changed. When you think about the changes that you've seen in your life, what would you say is the biggest difference to where you were and how you are now and how you see yourself?
I think I'm also, there's also a difference in the way I care less about what people think. I used to be like, I just want to be like everyone, so no one's asking me too many questions, and I don't want people to think I'm weird, these kind of things. And come on, I'm already the only vegan in my friends. If now I'm eating even more differently, it's really weird. And now I just do not care at all. I've accepted that, I'm eating differently than everyone I know. And I think that now even my group of friends, everybody knows it. And actually, people do not care that much. I used to think that it would be a big deal. I saw it mostly this summer. I went to Guadeloupe to stay with my family for 3 weeks. And I thought that it would be a huge struggle. I was thinking, oh, it's going to be so difficult to explain to everyone. And actually, nobody really cared. They were like, oh, okay, you do you. No problem. Okay, fine. And so I was telling them, okay, I'm going to wake up early to go for a run or for a walk. And we're like, okay, good luck. Good night. Do what you want tomorrow morning. And everything was fine. So it used to be something I was very worried about, doing something different and maybe being judged. Or, yeah, there were a couple of jokes, but I didn't die. No, people can joke if they want. That's fine. And it's very liberating, I think, to realize that you can just live your life the way you want to. And if people have comments to make, whatever, they say what they want, it's okay. It's fine.
And do you feel like you're living the life that you want to now?
Yeah. I feel like I care really less about what other people think of what I'm doing.
I love that you've gotten that clarity back as well, of not just having to think about weight loss all the time, that you're focused on these other things.
Yeah, that's a big change.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing your story. There's so many little nuggets in here. I love what you talked about in terms of making things easier, that habit change, sharing your wins, coming out of perfectionism. I am really inspired by this, and I'm going to go and do some of those tiny actions as well, and maybe spend 2 minutes playing guitar or going outside and 2 minutes on my little skate ramp. So thank you so much for that. And it was absolutely phenomenal to talk to you today. Thank you, Lily.
Thank you.